the most important.
Don't you forget it.
Boy, Paul struck up some points with the ladies today. But you know, he's right. He gave glory to God. God chose your mother for you. Do you know that? You didn't have any say in it, did you? No. And so think about that. That could go deep. God, it was God's will that your mother is your mother. That's interesting. Well, I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent, and then we're going to bring it back for the moms today. Being Mother's Day, I usually try to preach something about mothers and what have you, but today we're going to do a little bit different. And I apologize, my notes, I had some awesome notes. I wish I could say the dog ate them. But last minute, when I was out of time, the computer did what the computer sometimes does and took my notes away. They took my notes away. But they didn't take away the scripture references were already in my heart, so I quickly jotted them down for you. So I have scripture references for you today on the slides. So I apologize for those of you visual who like to see sentences and stuff on the screen. What you're going to see is scripture references. And I'm going to start in a place where you wouldn't think I would start for Mother's Day. Luke chapter 9, verse 51 through 56. Yeah, trust me, ladies, we're going to get there. I'm saying Luke chapter, this is going to be one of those days. Yesterday I woke up with a migraine, and I was out of it all day. Hopefully it doesn't linger into this morning's message. So I'm saying Luke chapter 9 and looking at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 9. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and it says in verse 51 of Luke chapter 9, "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent his messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did?' But he rebuked them and said, 'You do not know what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.' And they went to another village." Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray this morning that as we go through your word, you will speak to our hearts, you'll change our lives. Draw us closer to you, God. Give us more wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But most of all, God, let your Spirit just be poured out on us, that we would never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, a couple things about this. Here Jesus is traveling to the Jerusalem, and he's going through Samaria. And, you know, those who know a little bit about, you know, history and Bible and all of that stuff, the Samaritans didn't get along with the Jews. And so he's coming through Samaria, and he sends his disciples before him to get a place set for them. And apparently they explain, oh, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Well, once they found out he was on his way to Jerusalem, they didn't want to have anything to do with him because they were Samaritans. And so the disciples asked Jesus, and this is really, I mean, these guys, you want to talk about faith? These guys had some faith. They walk up to Jesus, and because the Samaritans, you know, rejected Jesus, they step right up in faith. You want us to call down fire from heaven and consume them? As if they could have done that, right? Just like Elijah did. Man, that's some faith right there. Could you imagine the conversation these guys might have had? You know what? We could call down fire on these guys. And unfortunately, we are kind of like that, don't we? When somebody rejects Jesus, we want to condemn them. We want to judge them. You know, they basically wanted to command judgment down on them because they rejected Jesus Christ.
It's important for us to be careful. You know, when we're out spreading the good news and we're telling people about Jesus, are we doing that? Are you doing that? I hope you're doing that. Because that's what we're all called to do. Excuse me, I got to get rid of that gum. That's what we're all called to do. But when we're out doing that and we're trying to share the love of God and people reject it, it's not our place to condemn them. And we need to remember that. It's not our place to call judgment down on them. I go to a fatherhood group over in Seneca County, and I encourage any man that, you know, if you're not going to Wolf's on Thursdays, well, you're not this week. Over at Seneca County office building at 5:30, from 5:30 to 7:30, they feed you. Show up there. There's a fatherhood connection group, and it's all about, you know, talking about the issues of fatherhood, dealing with your fathers and the issues you may have had there, or dealing with your children, struggles you're having as a father. It's a real good group. But anyway, we're in there, and I get to share my faith in there. I love it. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are, what your experience is your experience. And as a father, you get to explain your experience as a father, and I get to, share my faith and not only do I talk about me as a father or my father as my father, but I also get to talk about my Heavenly Father, who's the inspiration for much of what I do. And it's really a neat thing. But there are guys there that, and they have, you know, I've had one guy that specifically said to me, you know, I don't really believe in, you know, Jesus like you do, and I don't really believe in the God that you do, but I believe in, you know, a higher power and whatever and all this stuff. And I'm like, you know what? It's not for me to convince you who Jesus is. He can do that all for himself. I'm not here to condemn you because, or judge you because you don't believe in God the way that I believe in God. That's not my place. That's not my job. My job is just to share my faith. And whether they receive it or whether they reject it, that's up to God, right? He's the one that gives the increase. The Bible says that, you know, this one waters and that one plants, but God gives the increase. And so just because, you know, could you imagine the men in the fatherhood group in Seneca County if I'd say, well, I command fire down on you guys, right? Probably not a good thing. But Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. But in that sentence, before he says that in verse 56, he says in verse 55, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. And so as we go around and we're sharing our faith and we're telling people about Jesus, are you aware of what spirit you are of? Especially when people reject the message or reject the Lord. And we can look around us and we've all been to those places and we've seen those churches and we've seen, you know, those people that are out there just commanding fire down on all those who reject Jesus. We've seen that. And we can, just like Jesus, we can look at them and understand, you know what, they don't know what spirit they are of. That is not a spirit that Jesus would want us to live by. And so just think about that as you're going out and you're sharing the gospel. Jesus was kind. He was gentle. He was patient. He was loving. He was forgiving. And whether they received him or not, he did not condemn them. The Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But you know what? Now is not the day of condemnation for those who are not in Christ Jesus. And so what spirit should we be of? And I'm going to want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 7. Again, I'm saying 2 Timothy chapter 7 when I really mean 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm looking at 1 Timothy. Yeah, this is going to be a good one. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. What kind of spirit should we be? Have I got everybody confused yet? Here, let me help you. Go with what that says, not what I say. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Of course, the way my spelling's been the last few weeks, you might want to just follow along. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Holy Spirit. We're going to get there. You're ahead of me a little bit. It's okay. God did not give us a spirit of fear. Now, in my awesome notes, I had a slide that gave you the definition of fear and all of that. And the word used for fear there was the word for timidity. You're timid. The word for cowardice. That type of fear. Where you're afraid. How many of you ever... I'll be honest. Especially as a new believer. When it came time, we've all been to that place. Well, maybe. I trust we have all been to that place. All of us who love the Lord, we've been to that place where God has wanted us to share our faith with somebody and we were afraid. I've been there. You've been there. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been in a situation where God wanted you to share your faith. And many times we're like, oh boy, how am I going to start this? I was so grateful. The other day, my wife and I were at a yard sale. And we ran into an old schoolmate, and we're having this conversation. And I know this, you know, and I know this girl has some kind of belief in God because she would put stuff on my, you know, she would put likes on a lot of the stuff I post. I post a lot of, you know, I post a lot of different stuff, but I post a lot of religious stuff, a lot of quotes and things, and she puts a lot of likes on there. And so we're having this conversation, and I'm looking for an opportunity, a window where I can slip in some Jesus and ask her, you know, what church she goes to and all that. And I'm just looking for that. And before I got to it, she says to me, hey, what church do you go to? Thank you, God, for opening up that door for me. I didn't have it. She just brought, you know. But it's not always easy. You know, we get in these conversations, and sometimes we're timid, and sometimes we're afraid. Well, I don't know how I'm going to start this conversation and tell this person about Jesus, or that I love him, or that I'm a Christian, or any of that, you know. In that word fear. And so Paul says, God did not give us a spirit of fear. And so that in that moment, the next time when God gives you that opportunity, and he will, I remember last time when I proclaimed this. Every now and again, I will proclaim things that I know that God will do. Last time I proclaimed, God is going to give you an opportunity this week to share your faith with somebody. Last time I did that, I got a testimony later telling me how God had laid on somebody's heart to witness to somebody, and they knew it in the moment, and they were afraid, and they didn't do it, and the person left, and then that person got hit by the Holy Spirit, and they said, you know what, I better go and do this thing, chased them down the street, caught them down the little way, and told them to share their faith in Christ with them. God did not give us a spirit of fear. And so the next time, this week, coming up, maybe it'll be today, maybe you can share your faith with your mom today. Boy, that's a hard one. It's hard when... Many people would rather share their faith with a complete stranger than somebody who they grew up with and they've known, you know, your brothers, your sisters, your parents. Sharing your faith with your mom, it's awkward. It was, yeah, first time I shared my faith with my dad. It was, because we didn't grow up in church. It's not like we ever talk about these things. It's not, and now I'm going to ask my dad if he's saved. If he knows Jesus, if he knows understands anything about the Bible. And much to my surprise, he knew a lot about the Bible. And he knew a lot about Jesus. And I learned he's got faith I didn't even know about. It's in there. It's like, wow. But you know what? If you're afraid, think about what spirit... My wife's telling another story where I shared my faith with one of my uncles. He kept turning it on me. I said, Uncle Junior, do you believe in Jesus Christ? He said, don't you? As if I was asking him to mentor me. Well, do you understand that Jesus died for our sins on the cross? Well, don't you? Well, of course I do. I want to know if you do. But if you're afraid, think about this just for a moment. What spirit am I of right now? Because God did not give me the spirit of fear.
So why are we afraid?
Why are we allowing a spirit of fear to interfere? Fear interferes. Hey, that's a word for you. Quote for you. Fear interferes. Your inner fear interferes. How's that one? Huh? It's getting bad. But he gave us a spirit of what? Love. Hold on. My wife's praying that I would be of sound mind today. Not going to happen. He gave us a spirit of love. Well, first it says power. Spirit of power, of love, and sound mind. The word power, again on that awesome slide. The word power talks about ability. It talks about moral power. It talks about excellence of soul. If you look up the definition for the word that Paul used there for the word power. Ability. In other words, you are able to do the thing that God has called you to do. Somebody say, I'm able. Because God has given me the spirit of ability, the spirit of power. In that word, in that definition, is also moral excellence, moral power, power to be moral. How many struggle with your sin, right? We all are tempted. We all struggle with sin in our lives. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit that God has given us, we have power to overcome that. And so, and also, excellence of soul. You ever been around somebody who's got just excellence of soul? You can tell when you're in the presence of somebody who just has excellence of soul. They have peace in their life. They're those people that, you know what, there's a tornado coming and they just calmly say, okay, let's all just go over here to the shelter and we'll be okay right here. Nothing rattles them, you know. Just total trust in Jesus. Power. He gives us that spirit. And so when you're struggling with your sin, or if you're struggling with using, you know, allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through you, or things like that, you think about, for this moment, well, what spirit am I of today? I'm going to be of the Spirit of God. I'm going to be of the Holy Spirit who gives me power. Power over this temptation that's in my life. Power over fear. Power an ability to do what God has called me to do. And so that's power. And it says it gives us a spirit of power and a spirit of love. Love for what? Everyone, thank you. Love for man and love for God. Or the other way around, love for God and love for man. And it kind of goes both ways. You can tell when if somebody has a lack of love for God, what surprises you that they don't love you? It should be of no surprise at all. Or if somebody is showing a lack of love for you, what surprises you if they don't appear to have any love for God? They both come from the same place. We've talked at length about love. We've talked about love languages. We've talked about how to communicate love. We've talked about what love, you know, the power of love in your life and all of those kinds of things. But love, it comes from the Spirit. God gives us not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. You ever drive down the street and just see somebody that you don't even know, and it's like, my gosh, I love that person. You ever have that? No? Oh, dear. When you're driving down the street, you need to think about, what spirit am I of today? Because I ain't loving nobody here on the street. Right now, she's got a lack of love for her son-in-law. Wait a minute. Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, you got to know when to hold them. Know when to hold them. He gives a spirit of sound mind. Anybody need a sound mind? My wife says, I wish you would have a sound mind. She prayed for that. Yeah. Now, the word sound mind there are other translations. Some translations say sound mind. some say self-control, spirit of self-control. Others say self-discipline. Whatever the case may be, whether it's a sound mind, if it's a sound mind, you're doing the right things, you're thinking the right things, you're acting the right acts. If it's a self-control, you're in control. You're not out of control. When everything's like, anybody have one of those days when just everything's out of control? I had one yesterday. If anybody finds a Coke laying around somewhere, I opened up a Coke yesterday and I lost it. We searched there high and low. I can't find it. Yesterday was out of control. Woke up with a migraine. I ended up just out of it for the day. And then my kids did this problem and that problem. And I'm trying to help them. And I don't know if I was more help than hinder. And I'd still like to know where my Coke went. And it's just like out of control. But on those days when life is out of control, it's like, you know, there's nothing in my power today going the way that I want it to be. There's nothing happening the way that I think it should be. Think about for a moment, what spirit am I today? God gives us a spirit of self-control, a sound mind, self-discipline. Those are all good words. That's all good stuff. But God, He gives us that kind of spirit. Are we walking in that kind of spirit? Ask ourselves each and every day, when you wake up in the morning, before you put your feet on the floor, what kind of spirit am I going to be of today? And when you lay down at night, and before you put yourself back to sleep, what kind of spirit was I today? Was I one of fear, or was I one of power and of love and a sound mind? Well, where do we get this kind of spirit? Anybody want that kind of spirit? You want the kind of spirit of power and love and a sound mind? You want that spirit? Where does it come from? Well, look back up to verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 6. Paul says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. So where did Timothy get the Spirit? Through the laying on of hands. Paul laid his hands on Timothy at some point. And back in, I forget the reference, I lost it in my awesome notes. Back in 1 Timothy, there's another reference that talks about where Timothy was prayed over by the apostles. And the Spirit of God was given to him. He received the Spirit of God. Now, in a couple of weeks is what they call the Day of Pentecost. It's a time when one of the festivals that, you know, the Jews, or not the Jews, but Christians, celebrate the Day of Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. And so there's going to be more talk about the Holy Spirit and receiving the Holy Spirit into your life and those kinds of things. But for today, I just want to look at for a moment the idea of where the Spirit comes from, the Spirit of power and the Spirit of love and the Spirit of sound mind. Turn with me, if you will. Keep your finger there, because we're going to come back there in 2 Timothy. But turn to Acts chapter 8. And some of you ladies are probably still scratching your head. What's this got to do with Mother's Day? Well, you'll find out. Acts chapter 8. I just want to give you a little bit
but understanding where the Spirit comes from. Because certainly we all want to have the Spirit of power, Spirit of love, Spirit of sound mind. I hope that's what we all want. If you're somebody that wants to have the Spirit of weakness, and a spirit of hatred, and a spirit of just lost mind, there's churches you can go to that'll offer that to you, but hopefully not this one. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. And so here's a group of people who believe in God. They've received the Word of God. They believe in Jesus. But it says that the Holy Spirit had not been poured out on them yet. And so Peter and John go down to pray for them. Verse 16, for he has fallen on none of them yet. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So these are believers. And verse 17 says, then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Why is it important to go to church? Free coffee? Yeah, thank you. Unfortunately, we don't have any today, although on Wednesday nights at Celebrate Recovery, we do have free coffee. But it's important to go to church because you need to fellowship with other believers. You need to be in the presence of other believers. And you need to be in a place where people will pray for you. Because according to this, when people of God lay hands and pray for you, stuff happens. Good stuff happens. It says in 17, they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. In verse 18, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Now, something visible and tangible happened when they received the Holy Spirit. And I'll get into that on another day. But something that was so obvious that Simon the sorcerer said, hey, I want to have this power. I want to be able to lay my hands on people and the Holy Spirit just be poured out in their lives and come into their lives. It's a good thing to want that kind of power. But you got to be a godly person for that to happen, not a sorcerer. And you don't buy it with money. It's a gift from God. The Spirit is a gift from God. Because it says in verse 19. Okay, go to verse 20. Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. What's the gift of God? The Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to leave, and God is going to send you another helper, another comforter. And here Peter is saying to Simon the sorcerer, he said, you know, your money perish with you because the gift of God, which is what we're in context of what we're talking about, the Holy Spirit can't be bought with money. But it was received through the laying on of hands. And so if you're struggling with the power of, with the Spirit of power and love and a sound mind that comes from God, which is all from the Holy Spirit, if you're struggling with that, ask somebody to pray for you, somebody who loves God, who's full of the Holy Ghost, to pray for you. And we'll do that in days to come, because today's Mother's Day and I'm getting there. I mean, I'd pray for you today if that's what you want. But I'm kind of steering us somewhere here. Anybody totally confused yet? Spirit of power and love and sound mind. It's the Holy Spirit interacting in your life. And it's available to all of us. To all believers. Paul ministered through the Spirit. Let's go back now to 2 Timothy. Paul understood the Spirit, and he ministered through the Spirit, and he had confidence in this Spirit. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy, back to chapter 1. And we're going to start reading in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Does that sound like somebody who is a spirit of confusion or is a spirit of fear? No. Paul understood this spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. And he declares right off the bat to Timothy in this letter, he says, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul was pretty bold. He was very bold. He was bold enough that he said, you know what? I'm going to go all the way to the top. I'm going to go take this message all the way to Caesar because there's nobody above him. Paul was bold. He had a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Paul, you want to say something?
He was in prison.
He was in prison when he wrote this letter. Yeah. And yet he's got this confidence. How many of us, when we're sitting behind bars, have this kind of confidence? When we're in the prison of our lives and we feel like we're bound in chains and we're not free to just do whatever it is we want to do. And usually we're like, oh, woe is me. Banging the tin can on the bars. Let me out of here. But not Paul, because he understood how to minister through the power and the love and the sound mind, the Holy Spirit that God had put on him. He's got confidence here by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, a beloved son. And he says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Now it's interesting. He's talking to Timothy. Timothy is a believer. He's somebody that got saved under Paul's ministry, and Paul raised him up, and so he knows that Timothy is a believer, a lover of God, and called into the ministry. And yet he says to him, grace and mercy and peace from God be to you, Timothy. Now, why would Timothy need grace and mercy as a believer? Don't we all? Exactly. After having been, saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, there are still times when we all need a little bit of grace and mercy, right? Oh, yeah. Look at your neighbor, say, grace and mercy to you. And peace. We all need that in our lives. And if you're out just spreading, just proclaiming grace and mercy and peace from God over the lives of people, you can do that with love, and you can do that with a sound, and you can do that with power. He goes on to say, I thank God, verse 3, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. He says, I thank God who I serve with a pure conscience. How could he say that? Do you serve God with a pure conscience, anybody? You know why he could say that? Because he was ministering through power and love and a sound mind. He had the Holy Spirit working in his life. Without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers. You know, there are some people that they're... I got former bosses that, hey, have you been praying for me? whenever I see him, you've been praying for me? It reminds me, I got to pray for them often. You know, when God puts somebody in your heart and in your mind or in your life, pray for them. And it's hard. You know what? If I try to pray for everybody. I do. I've run into so many people. I need a couple days just to pray for people. Paul says, I prayed for you constantly. I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to the remembrance, the genuine faith that is in you. Think about that for a moment here. I'm thinking about praying, I got people that ask me to pray for them. But here, Timothy, he's a believer. And Paul says, you know what? I see day and night I pray for you. Pray for other believers too. When he's reminded of the genuine faith that Timothy has, he prays for him. Woo, everybody's windows up. Hope your windows are up, because there's something coming down. Pray for people of faith. Pray for me. You want me to minister to you out of power and love and a sound mind? You need to be praying for me. Because that's what Paul was doing. He was praying for Timothy and encouraging him that he would minister through power and love and a sound mind. Pray for one another. Verse 6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you. The gift of God, again, which is in you through the laying out of hands. The gift of God. Some translations say, fan the flames. That's what some translations say. Stir up the gift of God. Fan the flames. In other words, you know what? The little spark of faith that you have inside there, blow some wind on that thing and make it a fire. If you got even the tiniest little spark of God in your life, God wants you to stir that thing up, and He wants you to fan that flame, and He wants you to burn hot for Him. Doesn't matter where you start in your journey with God. If you got even a mustard seed of faith, that's enough to move mountains. God wants you to stir that thing up and use it and minister through power and love and a sound mind. And so here, Paul is talking to Timothy. And he mentions his genuine faith. I love being around people that you can tell, you know what, that guy or that girl, that is a person who has genuine faith. But even Timothy, with this genuine faith that Paul knew that he had, needed some encouragement. Now, there are times when you can read where Paul rebukes somebody. As a matter of fact, Paul rebuked Peter. Peter at one time got a little bit of... I'm going to talk about speaking in tongues on another day as well. Peter at one time got led astray and was separating himself from the Gentiles at times because he was circumcised and they were not. And there was a group that were following them, and Paul had to remind Peter, you know what? Your circumcision doesn't mean anything when it comes to the love of God. That circumcision had to do with the old covenant for the Jews. And when we come to Jesus Christ, it's not about a physical circumcision in a body. It's about a spiritual circumcision of the heart. And so Paul had to rebuke some people. But here, Paul is encouraging Timothy. To move forward in his faith. And to minister out of a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Now, ladies, as you read through that, and as I read through that, did you notice something that I skipped over? If you got your Bible in front of you, you might have caught it. If you don't have your Bible in front of it, you don't know what I skipped over in verse 5. What it says in verse 5, I read the first half of the verse. It says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. That sounds like a good thing. But that's only half of the verse. Which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. Ladies, don't think that your influence over your children is for naught. Here, Paul specifically makes mention of Timothy's genuine faith that came from where first? Who was Timothy's example of faith? It was his mother and his grandmother. Children, let me encourage you today. If you've got a mother that is sitting here in this church, you've got a mother of faith, and you need to pay attention to what she does and how she does it through the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind, the Holy Spirit working in her life. Your mother can be an awesome, incredible example of faith in Jesus Christ that you need to follow. I believe, and I've shared this testimony many of the times, and I'm not going to share the whole thing today, but I believe, and I really do feel that much of my just spiritual strength comes from something that was imparted to me from my wife's grandmother. Any of you who knows my wife's grandmother knows she was just a beautiful woman of faith. She ministered through power and love and a sound mind. And she passed that down to her daughter, who also has been a great influence in my life. Who passed that down to her daughter, who also is a great spiritual influence in my life. There are mothers in this place who love Jesus. People will not only notice the faith that is in you, but they will also notice when the faith starts coming out of their children, and they will recognize, you know what, it was your influence on them that made the difference. Thank you, ladies, for following Jesus Christ, for ministering through the Holy Spirit of power and love and sound mind. Children, you can look in Proverbs and find all sorts of proverbs that talk about honoring your parents, your mother and your father, and all the good things that a mother does in the life of a child. You should hold those things near and dear. As Paul mentioned, Paul our apostle. It was God who chose your mother for you. And you should thank God that he chose a godly mother for you. And if your mother is not a godly mother, if you're here and your mother's not here and she's not a godly mother, then be praying for her. You can be the example. You know, it goes both ways. But you know what? Someday you may have children. And my prayer is that you will be an example for them, so much so that when the Apostle Paul or somebody like him shows up and sees what's going on in your children's life, he will recognize, you know what? It was the faith of your mother. Women are a special blessing to mankind. They're different than men. Anybody notice? Men, if you look at creation, you will learn that men were created from the dust of the earth. Women didn't come from the dust of the earth. They came from the inside of man. That's a little different. Now, you could say, kind of like I do when I say, I eat all kinds of vegetables because I eat meat. Animals eat vegetables, I eat animals, therefore I eat vegetables. And so you could say, well, women, you know, they're from the dust too because they came from man, but man came from the dust. So if that's your analogy, then in the way you look at it, then I'm a vegetarian. Hallelujah. But women are unique and special. In the eyes of God, they're a gift to mankind, especially when they live lives of faith in Jesus Christ and they pass that down to their children. Ladies, you are to be commended. God bless you, and happy Mother's Day. We have a gift for you all. I'm going to put him on the spot because he hasn't been in church in a long time. Dallas, would you go to the back and get that bouquet of flowers for me, please? Cruz is saying, finally, I'm not being picked on. Oh, he thinks Nicole should go help him? That would be a good thing. Nicole, would you like to go help Dallas, please? Nicole is my niece. We don't see her face near enough here either, right? Now, I'm not sure how we're going to administer this. These are roses. These are just, yeah, just fling them up and throw the bouquet and let them catch them. No, don't do that. Hold on. He's anxious. He wants out of the spotlight now. That's all right. Just stay right there. Every year we want to bless the moms. We want you to receive a gift from us. There's roses of many colors there. I don't know what your favorite colors are. If you don't get one that's your favorite color, if somebody else gets it, just have some grace with us and enjoy what you end up with. What's the Bible say? Be content with what you got, right? Ladies, would you please stand, those of you who are mothers? Dallas, you hold the thing. Nicole, you pull out the color that they want. And just start right over here on the right. And work you. Yeah, they picked them. They get last. Tell them which color, and Nicole will dish it out for you. Yes, dear. Amen. Be praying for your mother if she's not a godly mother. Because God's not through with her yet. Amen. Oh, you got some of the decoration stuff too. Oh, good idea. Yeah, you may sit after you receive your gift. Children, who appreciates your mom? Amen. Yeah. Before the day's out, tell your mom that you love her. Before the day's out, make sure that she knows that you are so glad that she's your mom. Do it through the Holy Spirit. Do it through the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Bless your mother today. Praise the Lord. Aren't they cute, my son and my niece out there? Yes, John. Go right ahead, brother.
My daughter hasn't played much softball this year. She's sat there on the bench quite a lot.
Uh-huh.
She's been quite depressed. So just before her game, I prayed for her. When she played the game, she could get in the game, get ahead. She picked us off her chest. She called me up after the game saying they won. She hit a double and got her second.
Your daughter hit a double and the team won? Were they happen to be? What team does your daughter play on? She plays for Geneva Panthers. Did they happen to be playing at? They were playing Waterloo.
No.
Oh, that's what I was going. Oh, they're playing Waterloo right now. Oh, they're tied with Waterloo. Okay, is that high school level? That high school level softball?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's a junior.
Okay.
But she got in, got a hit, and my prayer was answered.
Well, thank you, Jesus. Amen, ladies. I hope that you're blessed today. We're going to take this one step farther before we're done. What am I missing? Couple more in the front. I know this is like probably the if I want my niece and my son to keep coming, this is probably the worst thing to do. Put them in the spotlight. I can say this as I am just so blessed with the children that God have put in my life. Amen. Now, thank you. You just said that right there for now. Thank you. Let's give a hand for Dallas and Nicole. Yeah. Now, ladies, first of all, children, if you're not holding a flower and you are under the age of 25, I would like you to stand up. We need some more kids. Yeah, you can stand up. They're all downstairs. All right. Ladies, if you're holding a flower, hold it up in the air. And all of you young ones who are standing up, I want you to go stand next to somebody who has a flower. Make sure that everybody who has a flower has somebody standing next to them. Dale, let's go find somebody.
You're right next to someone.
No. There's a few more over here. Yep, we need to share. Okay, we're going to have to share some. Well, we need, yeah. Okay, they got some there. Oh, maybe we won't have to. Actually, I think we're about good. Need someone over here with Gloria? Is there anyone who's got a flower that doesn't have a child sitting next to them? My wife? Is there anyone got two? Karina, come back over here. Thank you. Is there anyone with a flower that doesn't have a child next to them? She's got her own child. That works. It's okay. And I want you children to pray for the mom that you're standing next to. You can do it. Now I know children. I'm asking you to be bold, to pray with power and love and a sound mind, right? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you have to do it with your lips closed, it's okay. If you can do it with your lips open, I'm sure the mom would love to hear the blessing. But pray over the mom that you are standing next to as we all pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for each one of these moms. They are such a blessing to us. Examples of faith, example of power and love and a sound mind. God, I pray an extra special blessing on each and every mom in this place today, that they would sense love today, that they would have grace and mercy and peace in their lives. And God, that the children that they raised, each and every one of them would grow to serve you and to be an example of faith that has been passed down through their moms. Lord, thank you for the moms in this place. Thank you, God, that they've all received a gift from you in the symbol of this rose today. Your love in their lives. Bless them through their children. Bless them, Lord God, through their testimonies. Bless them, God, through your Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Thank you for participating in that. Ladies, have a wonderful Mother's Day. Enjoy your lunches, and we will see you the next time.